Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
Because I'm going to make this place yours.
Good morning, Milwaukee. Good morning, Wisconsin. A little crisp out there, but the sun is shining. Always sunshine and smiles here on The Upswing. A big thanks to Martin Moore for driving the show yesterday. Him and Steve Glenn did a great job. I'm back. As I've said a couple times, I've had so many wonderful suggestions, just great emails and texts about, hey, what should you do for the future of The Upswing? How can you continue to make it bigger and better? Someone said recently, you can't do a show, Jeff, about the intersection of community life and business without talking about manufacturing, especially in Wisconsin. And it's so very true. If Wisconsin's going to continue to grow and position itself as a leader, it's jobs, jobs, jobs. So I really took those comments to heart. I made a lot of calls. I've had a lot of wonderful email back and forth with great leaders. Talked to manufacturing groups, business groups. A bunch of college professors, too, have really helped me get my arms around the issue, if you will. But alas, you know, often think about, like, sometimes you lose those keys. I lose my car keys and I'm like, where did my car keys go? They're right there in my hand. Like, they've been there the whole time. So often in life, the answer to so many of our questions is right in front of you. So for me, finding the manufacturing expert is truly right in front of me. It's my best friend, Matt Kirchner, who I've literally known since third grade. But Matt's an internationally known speaker going around the world talking about AI, manufacturing, technical education, and more. A couple months ago, last year, he keynoted the North Dakota Governor's Summit on Innovative Education. And just in February, right up the street here at the beautiful historic Pfister Hotel, he keynoted the Wisconsin Focus on Manufacturing Breakfast. So AI, as Matt's going to tell you as we continue our conversation, AI is going to change everything in manufacturing in the next 2 to 4 years. Matt is the president of ATS and Lab Midwest. He's the host of Tech Ed Podcast, and he's truly on a mission to secure the American dream for the next generation of workforce. Matt, welcome to The Upswing. Thanks for taking time out of your morning.
Well, Jeff, I can't thank you enough for having me on. I mean, I've followed your career. Obviously, you shared that we've been friends since third grade. That covers some territory. And just watching the way that you've grown, there is no better advocate for the state of Wisconsin, no better advocate for Milwaukee than Jeff Sherman. So I can't tell you what an honor it is to be with you this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So we'll talk about career paths for students later in the show. But just give us your 2-minute career path overview, Matt.
Absolutely. Well, I would say it's really three things, Jeff. The first one is that I'm a Milwaukee guy, born and raised, grew up in Wauwatosa, love this city. Love the state of Wisconsin. So many amazing things to offer here. Went to school in Wauwatosa, you know, went through my collegiate pathway at Marquette University. And so number one, you know, tried and true Milwaukee person. And that's my first M, by the way. Three M's that kind of explain Matt Kirchner. The second one is manufacturing. So I spent, as you suggested, my entire career up until about 9 years ago in the manufacturing sector. I ran several manufacturing companies. I was chief executive of two of them, chief operating officer of a third one, during a 25-plus year career in manufacturing. So I know, I like to think, as well as anybody, the incredible importance that manufacturing has to the fabric of our community here in the city of Milwaukee and here in the state of Wisconsin. The third thing is that the third M is all about mission. And as you suggested, we're on a mission to secure the American dream for the next generation of STEM and workforce talent. I saw lives totally changed by careers in manufacturing. People starting out sweeping the floor, ending up running the company or pausing anywhere along the way and having an incredible family-supporting career in manufacturing. So 9 years ago when we sold our manufacturing company, and that ended the way that you kind of hope it does, I really wanted to do something with a huge mission associated with it. And so we said, what kind of people would we be if we didn't do everything we could to give young people and people of all ages the excitement that I feel around manufacturing and then equip them with the skills and the competencies they need to be successful in a manufacturing world that, as we're going to talk about this morning, I'm sure is changing at warp speed. So that's Matt Kirchner in three M's.
All right.
Manufacturing and Milwaukee and mission.
Very good. When we come back from the break, Matt, we're going to walk through our elementary school, McKinley Elementary in Wauwatosa, and we're going to discuss what McKinley kind of means to the future of technology in education. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. We're back. Welcome back to The Upswing. We are here with Matt Kirchner, host of the Tech Ed Podcast, national AI and manufacturing expert. So, Matt, I'm a little jealous that you got to see our grade school, McKinley Elementary in beautiful tree-lined Wauwatosa, before it was torn down and rebuilt a few years ago. I tell you, though, I truly appreciate your mom got me a brick as a keepsake. It's sitting on my desk. But you had an opportunity to walk through our school and had some pretty striking insights as to just how elementary school and education has changed through the years. I mean, other than all of our memories, what are your insights?
Well, you know, that was such a surreal experience, Jeff, because it literally had been 40-some years, I think, since I had set foot in the hallowed halls of McKinley Grade School. And so imagine, you know, having this experience and all these memories coming pouring back, you know, walking the same hallways that you did and seeing the same classrooms and the same bubblers, as we call them here in Milwaukee. All of them were the same, the tiles. I mean, it took all these photos. It was just an incredibly nostalgic experience. But there was a few things that just occurred to me as I was walking through. And that is if you look at the average American classroom, especially in elementary, middle school, high school, and so on, and you walk into a classroom today, Jeff, in a lot of cases and in a lot of districts, they don't look too much different than what they did when we were there. So here we are 40 years later, thinking about all the innovation that we've had in technology, in AI, in machine learning, and so on. And yet, in many ways, we are still delivering learning to our students in the same way that we did 40 years ago. And it's not that there aren't exceptions to that and that there aren't examples of people that are shining. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But so many opportunities for us to transform the world of education going forward.
Yeah, so many of the classrooms are set up exactly the same way. The desks are set up the same way. And, you know, we didn't have shop class, per se, in elementary school. We did in junior high school.
Indeed.
And you often say that, you know, shop class is dead. What is the next version of shop class now?
Yeah, so you think about in our shop class, and we were in middle school, and Ralph Hetzel, by the way, credit to Mr. Hetzel for being a phenomenal shop teacher. I still remember the projects that I did, which is really a testament to the power and the influence that a teacher can have over a young person's career path. And so on. But in many ways, shop class is dead. And for one reason that maybe isn't so good and another reason that is good. The first thing is that, you know, we got really fixated in this country over the course of the last 20 and 30 years on having everybody pursue a four-year degree pathway. And look, I mean, there's certainly nothing wrong with that, and that's a great option for a lot of students. But as we started measuring our school districts around just how many students and what percentage were going on to four-year degrees, we really lost sight of the importance of career inspiration through things like what used to be called shop class evolved into technology education. The second reason that shop class is dead, though, is to your point, that world is changing. If your paradigm of technical education, if your paradigm of shop class is a machining center and a drafting project and a bandsaw, technology and technical education is totally different. And we're introducing all kinds of incredible technologies now in project-based, interactive, progressive ways to inspire this next generation of students toward unbelievable careers, not just in manufacturing, but across all of science, technology, engineering, and math.
And so at Lab Midwest, you have many of the new robotics and manufacturing products that you integrate into schools through your new tech center, correct?
That's exactly right. We opened that up in February of 2023, so it's brand new. It's on the kind of the northwest side of Mequon, if you will.
Okay.
And that is a place where teachers come, where manufacturers come, where students come to be inspired around what could be in the next generation of manufacturing. To your point, robotics, robotic weld cells, artificial intelligence, data acquisition, smart sensors, smart devices, what we call mechatronics, which is kind of the convergence of all of these technologies. We have so many innovative ways now to inspire students toward these careers and to equip them with the skills that are necessary when they get to whatever comes after their middle school or high school pathway, and that's what we have on offer at Mequon.
What's an example of a kind of a modern piece of equipment that's being integrated into the modern shop class at a middle school.
Yeah, so if you think about, you know, you're watching a commercial about manufacturing and you see, for instance, the big yellow robots, that brand is FANUC, is yeah. F-A-N-U-C, and so everybody kind of knows that brand. It's iconic. We have every example you could think of just that robot. We have that in the form of a weld robot, a material handling robot, what we call a Delta robot that you might see in like a food packaging environment. So as just one example, every type of robot that you might see in manufacturing in a version that we can use to deliver learning to students in the same platform, the same software and so on that they're going to see when they get to industry. This is really, really important as we introduce students to authentic manufacturing technology.
Okay. When we come back from the break, AI is here, especially in manufacturing. We don't need to get ready for it. We just need to start. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to the Friday episode of The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, talking to Matt Kirchner today, the host of the Tech Ed podcast. So, Matt, as you're going around the country and talking to educators and manufacturing CEOs, what are the skills that are most in demand that they're looking for and just really need in today's workforce?
Well, I'll tell you first, those skills are 100% aligned with what Gen Z wants to do. You ask a Gen Z, what do they want in a job? They want mission and they want technology. They want tech careers. Make no mistake, manufacturing careers are technology careers. And if you want a career in tech, you need to look no further than advanced manufacturing. So we could be as broad or as narrow with that question, Jeff, as you want it to be. Certainly skills in things like CNC programming and machining and welding and now robotic welding and these types of skills in incredibly high demand. But then we advance from that to understanding smart sensors and smart devices in manufacturing, understanding what we call programmable logic controllers or the computers of manufacturing and into motor control and those types of technologies. And now we're doing all this data acquisition, understanding how we take data from a manufacturing process, use AI, use predictive analytics to predict the future. If we don't like what's going to happen in manufacturing on a production line, for example, we can actually change that using AI and machine learning before something bad ever happens. And these are the types of skills, well-rounded technology skills, amazing careers for young people and people of all ages. When we talk to individuals in the manufacturing and advanced manufacturing space, they tell us that is exactly what they're looking for.
So kids and everyone is interested in AI, right? Autonomous vehicles, self-driving cars, if you will. You're working with the Oakland Public School District in Detroit. What's that project all about, and how are the kids kind of plugging into the next wave of autonomous vehicles?
Well, you can't have a conversation without artificial intelligence. Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, says that this technology is so transformative that it's more transformative than electricity or fire, believe it or not. That's what we're in the middle of from a transformation standpoint. It took the Yellow Pages 75 years, Jeff, to get to 100 million users. It took the smartphone 15 years to get to 100 million users, ChatGPT to 100 million users. 2 months. That is how quickly this is changing. We have to instill these skills in our young people, and we have to show them that every single artificially intelligent system does four things. It has the ability to see using technologies like LiDAR and cameras and sensors. It has the ability to think using a microprocessor. For an example, an autonomous vehicle, as you suggest, I rode in one in downtown Detroit, called Uber. I literally jumped on Uber. It said, will you ride in an autonomous vehicle?
Did it get you, like, where you needed to
yeah,
go?
Yeah, totally. And there's no driver. You're sitting in the back, and it's just you're driving in city traffic.
What was the feeling when you got into the car?
Absolute. It was just, for me, it was absolute fascinating.
Yeah.
Absolutely fascinating. But pretty soon you realize that all this technology is just enabling you to travel down the street in a really, really safe fashion. In fact, my wife, Renee, who you know well, told me as we were riding with the regular Uber driver to the airport at the end of the day, she's like, you know, I kind of felt safer with that car that had no driver. So you never know what you're going to get. But the truth is we can teach all these things. So we can teach the thinking. We can teach the certainly the vision and the ability to see. Artificially intelligent systems also have the ability to act then based on what they're seeing. So that autonomous car that I'm driving in sees that there's a mailbox and maybe sees that there's a pedestrian, can discern between the two of them, slow down for the pedestrian, ignore the mailbox, if you will. And then it has the ability to communicate with other smart cars in that case, or with the cloud and with each other and so on. So it's that whole idea of how do we teach students that all artificially intelligent systems do those exact things, that they have the ability to see, to think, to do, and to communicate. So to your point, this project we worked on with Oakland Public Schools, 23 middle schools in suburban Detroit that are teaching that technology with a miniature version of that Waymo car that I rode in Phoenix when we were visiting.
So there's a little like course lined up in their classrooms, and they're able to guide and support the car through the classroom?
Precisely. So there's a course in the classroom. They've got all the same sensors and technology on their much smaller version of the car. It is communicating with other cars. They have the ability to look on a tablet as that, for an iPad, for example, as that car is driving around, and actually see on a screen what the car is seeing, understand how it's communicating with other vehicles. And we're not programming these cars to drive on the road or on the course. We're using machine learning at the cloud level to be able to do that. And so we've got students literally as young as 11 and 12 years old experiencing firsthand what an artificially intelligent system is, hands-on, project-based learning for kinesthetic learners, and those are experiences that are going to stick with them a long time.
And I'm guessing many of those cars are then able to kind of predict their own failure and say, wow, I'm going to need this part now or this part then. I mean, that's part of the process, right?
It's exactly right. And it's got a huge correlation in manufacturing. I mentioned the robotics company, Fanuc. And right now, I mean, they have loaded their robots up with so many smart sensors and devices, all communicating with the cloud, that a robot in manufacturing has the ability to predict its own future failure and order its own replacement parts before the failure ever happens. Coming back to the autonomous vehicle, exactly the same technology. We've got all of these connected to the cloud. Every vehicle is as smart in real time as all of the other vehicles put together. That's why AI and machine learning works the way that it does. And it's just an absolutely incredible set of technologies and combination of technologies that are making all this possible.
Great. Well, we look forward to getting some of those educational opportunities here in the state of Wisconsin. And we're going to continue our conversation when we come back with Matt Kirchner, host of the TEDx Tech Ed Podcast and president of Lab Midwest. We will dive into his discussion in North Dakota and what it means. Welcome back to The Upswing, the Friday edition. We're talking with Matt Kirchner, technical education, emerging trends, and change. So, Matt, edge to cloud continuum, what is that all about, and how does it touch every aspect of our lives?
Yeah, the best way to understand that, Jeff, I think, is to offer an example that everybody can relate to. Every single one of us has a smartphone, or at least most of us do, right? So our smartphone, believe it or not, is full of 23 different smart sensors. So you've got a fingerprint sensor, a temperature sensor, a heart rate sensor, an ultrasonic sensor, all of these sensors on your smartphone that are tracking everything you're doing all day long.
My Whoop band right here teed up to my phone. It is telling me right now, I'm having a great time and we're talking tech ed.
Precisely. And then any time you're talking tech ed is a great time, by the way. So this is absolutely fantastic. But so your smartphone is got all these sensors on it, picking up all this information about everything you're doing, sending that information to the smartphone itself. That's the control system. From there, it's going, you know, through a cellular network or Wi-Fi to your ISP, your internet service provider. From your ISP, then it's going up to the cloud. And so as one example, you know, I'm a Spotify guy. Some people are Apple Music. Both of our podcasts are available on Spotify, yes, of course. And so you think about Spotify. What amazes me, Jeff, is that it always knows exactly what song I want to hear next. You know, if I've got it on the mode where it's just playing music, it's like, how does it know? Well, the answer is it knows who I am. It knows how old I am. It knows where I live. It knows what kind of music I listen to. It knows my billing history. It knows how long I've been a member or I've been a customer of Spotify, all that information. It knows who follows me, who I follow, what they listen to, all of this information. And it takes all that at the cloud level, right? And it mixes that up with everybody else's information. And it says, okay, Matt Kirchner next is going to want to hear Sid and Nancy by MGK. And then all of a sudden, that's what it cues up. And I'm like, how did it know?
Right.
And the answer is that it has all that information. Well, that continuum exists certainly with our smartphone, but it exists across the entire economy. So if we think about manufacturing in my world. Sensors, tracking manufacturing performance, sending that information to a PLC, then to a data collector, then to the cloud. And we have that same continuum in healthcare. We have that same continuum in hospitality, in energy, in precision agriculture. And so what we find is that if we can teach that continuum to a student in a way that's relatable, all of a sudden they can take that learning into any sector of the economy and understand that it's that same continuum. So edge meaning the sensors that it's using to gather information, cloud meaning the cloud-based software and the huge data centers that are tracking and using all this information, that is the edge to cloud continuum.
Well, and then when you marry them to the third-party credentials, that's where the magic happens for the student and the manufacturer.
Absolutely. We stood up an organization here. It started really in Wisconsin. The concept did the Smart Automation Certification Alliance, and that's headed by a gentleman called Jim Wall. He lives in Louisville, Kentucky. But we worked with all these manufacturing companies from across the state of Wisconsin and beyond. Companies like Harley-Davidson, SC Johnson, Kohler, Sargento, household names here in Wisconsin, and then companies like Ford and Hyundai and Boeing and so on, and said, when you're hiring advanced manufacturing talent, what is it that you're looking for? And they told us, SACA, the Smart Automation Certification Alliance, created a series of credentials that are available for any student to learn, to earn rather, and demonstrate to an employer that they understand not just the edge to cloud continuum, but advanced manufacturing across the spectrum.
When we come back, I want to talk about influences that lead to career choices. But before that, Ashley Furniture, doing business out of its headquarters in Arcadia, Wisconsin, population 3,697, is a true innovator in the technology space, and I know a company you work with a lot. But how are they encouraging people to move to Arcadia and connect with manufacturing 4.0? This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing, talking manufacturing 4.0 with Matt Kirchner from the 414, coming in at the WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. Really nice note. Let's give a shout out to all the tech ed teachers who worked for years trying to keep these programs alive while many school districts literally wanted to eliminate those programs. Those teachers understood the importance of manufacturing, trade, and technical jobs. Indeed. So, Matt, you had an opportunity to deliver the 6 trends shaping the future of technical education in North Dakota at the Governor's Summit last year. How do you take some of those trends and bring them back to Wisconsin? Specifically, I want you to talk about your relationship with Ashley Furniture and how you're helping power recruitment and retention in Arcadia, Wisconsin, which isn't the biggest metropolis in the state.
Exactly, Jeff. So, you know, a couple things. First of all, we're all about sharing best practices. And we spent a lot of time. I spent 4 weeks in the state of North Dakota last year bringing best practices from places like Wisconsin to North Dakota, but also learning from what people like Governor Doug Burgum, the governor of the state of North Dakota, who I met through a really close mutual friend, Bill Foote, last year, and understanding
quickly,
what
I got to ask about Governor Burgum's ankle injury that he sustained here during the GOP debate last August. Is he all right? Is he up and at him?
So the governor and I were together as recently as about 3 weeks ago in Bismarck, and he climbed the stairs like a rock star 20-year-old point guard. So I would tell you that I'm not a medical doctor, nor do I play one on the radio, but he seems to be healing up just fine.
Right,
so
that's
thanks
good.
For
that's
thanks
good.
For checking in on all the governor. Right. And so we really had an opportunity to bring some of these best practices to North Dakota and, again, learn from what they're doing well. What they do incredibly well is aligning technology and aligning their philosophy around technical education from the state house to the schoolhouse. We can learn some things about that here in the state of Wisconsin. If there's one topic that everybody agrees on, and I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on, it's securing the American dream for the next generation of STEM and workforce talent. We say, I don't care who you voted for last time. I don't care who you voted for next time. If you're about securing the American dream, that's something we can all agree on, and we are on the same team. They've done that really, really well in North Dakota, and we talked quite a bit about that with them when I was spending time keynoting that summit you mentioned. I think 600 people in the audience, another 2,500 people live streaming and talking about the great things happening there. One of the great things happening here in Wisconsin, and you mentioned it already, is the huge investment the huge investment that Ashley Furniture is making in and around its school districts in Arcadia, Wisconsin, and nearby. The leadership of a gentleman by the name of Mike Bigley at the Whitehall School District in setting up what they call the Mobile Skills Lab. He worked really closely with Ron Wanick, who just was inducted into the Wisconsin Manufacturing Hall of Fame. Ron's son, Todd, they're combined, they're the chairman, founder, CEO of Ashley Furniture Industries, created this Mobile Skills Lab, travels to four different school districts in and around Arcadia, Wisconsin. To your point, a small town of 3,600 people. They employ 5,000 people in that town. Students leaving the community and then not necessarily coming back after whatever came after high school. They said, let's inspire these students with the Mobile Skills Lab. Travels to these four districts, expands to a 900-square-foot classroom, and inspires young people around careers in advanced manufacturing.
And it's not just recruitment and retention. It's showcasing all the opportunities. Yes, they want to recruit people to Arcadia, Wisconsin, but it's more about showcasing the opportunities statewide to students that need to see and hear it and touch it.
Their line is, let's show them the world, but let's show them what's here as well, and let's show these incredible technologies. And in a way, again, like you said, hands-on, tactile, kinesthetic, interactive, project-based. That's how we learn. That's how we evolve from that McKinley Great School that you and I were in 40 years ago to the new world of technical education. There's no better example than the great work that Ashley Furniture is doing.
All right. I want to have you define the state of tech ed in the state of Wisconsin. We're going to talk also about how manufacturing specifically can help Mayor Kevler Johnson get to 1 million population here in the city of Milwaukee. This is The Upswing. We're talking manufacturing 4.0 with Matt Kirchner. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to The Upswing, building manufacturing 4.0 in our hometown here, beautiful Milwaukee and all across the state of Wisconsin. We're talking with Matt Kirchner, president of Lab Midwest and host of the Tech Ed podcast. So, Matt, how would you define the state of tech ed in Wisconsin? And you know, really, as higher education continues to evolve and is getting disrupted in so many different ways, are our technical schools and education systems keeping up?
You know, Jeff, the answer to that question is like any question is it depends. And I would start out with our technical colleges here in the state of Wisconsin. We have 16 of them, many of them with multiple campuses across the state. I would put those colleges up against any other system anywhere in the country. I mean, Indiana's doing some really cool stuff. Ohio is doing some cool stuff. I would tell you in almost anybody's list of top technical college systems, those three, Milwaukee or Wisconsin, I should say, would be on the list of almost anybody's top three. So great things happening in our technical colleges without question. When it comes to K-12 education, it's a little bit of a mixed bag. You mentioned Ashley Furniture and their investments. I could talk about things that Metalcraft of Mayville have done in their area, Sargento with Manufacturing 4.0. Right here in Milwaukee, a partnership with the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, Bucyrus Foundation, doing some great things in industry 4.0, manufacturing 4.0, learning at places like Aug Prep, at places like the Milwaukee Academy of Science, at Obama High School, Bradley Tech, through the leadership of people like Tim Sheehy and Dale Kayenga and Tim Sullivan, Austin Ramirez, Abby Andrich, doing some awesome, awesome stuff and inspiring the next generation. So we have a ton of great success stories here in the state of Wisconsin. All over the state, we still have a lot of school districts that are putting a 3D printer and a vinyl cutter in a classroom and calling that manufacturing. I'm sorry, I make some people angry when I say this. That is not a manufacturing program. And if that is what your high school or your school district is doing, there is a better way. Nothing against 3D printers. We work in that space as well. Right. But it's got to be holistic. To your question about the four-year institutions, there's going to be a tremendous amount of disruption in four-year education over the course of the next 10 years. Part of that is demographic. We had a huge decline in the birth rate in the 2009-2010 era. All of those students of that age are now coming to the point in their lives where they're thinking about what comes after high school. There's just fewer of them. That's going to have a fundamental impact on higher education. And we've got changing perceptions about the value of higher education, not just here in Wisconsin, but all over the country. Look, I'm a fan of four-year institutions. I'm a product of one. You know, there's nothing, I wouldn't say a single bad thing, but we have to rethink about this idea of sending every single student to a four-year institution. There's so many. You can go into the military. You can go to a technical college. You can go direct to workforce. You can go to a four-year institution. All of these awesome options, and we need to make sure that students are aware of them. There's going to be a tough pill to swallow in higher education. If you're a president or a chancellor of a university, you've got to find ways to innovate. I would point to the University of Wisconsin-Stout and their new degree in automation leadership, the most innovative higher education degree, baccalaureate degree in the world, and they're innovating that right here in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, when you come back the next time, I want to have you talk about the jobs that, for the fans listening to the show, people may not be aware of the jobs that are available to students today, and they're all across the state of Wisconsin. So you're employing kids that are like, wow, I didn't know that was a job. I didn't know I could make $80,000 a year doing this or that. So that's truly important as you continue to go around the country and bring your ideas back. But to wrap up the segment today and the beautiful time we've spent here on the Upswing, you go back to your childhood, Matt. Go back to your third grade self at McKinley Elementary where we met each other. Given what you know now in the manufacturing 4.0 space, what's your advice to the third grade self, Matt Kirkner?
Well, if we go back to that third grade classroom, Jeff, I spent almost the entire year sitting next to you. Our desks were right next to each other, except for 6 weeks, where Mrs. Pettick, God bless her, took my desk and turned it 180 degrees, and I faced the class. You remember this? And my desk was right next to hers because I was the kid that couldn't sit still. I was the kid that was hyperactive, rambunctious. They had all kinds of words for it. I was the kid that took the path of least resistance in education. I didn't want to do any more work than I had to get to whatever that endpoint was. I was the kid that always wanted to be the center of attention. What I found was when I got to manufacturing, those things that I got in trouble for in grade school were worth their weight in gold. Having all this energy, being not willing to sit still, finding the path of least resistance. That's what manufacturing is. Let's get the most work done with the least amount of resources. And, you know, always wanting to be the center of attention. Well, I'm here with you on WTMJ Radio. I guess that's working out for me pretty well so far. So my advice to that third grade Matt Kirkner would be wait it out. Follow the rules as best you can. It gets better. And for any young person considering a career, it can be way better in advanced manufacturing.
Very good. Life happens as it should, and it unfolds in fascinating ways, especially in the manufacturing space. I appreciate Matt Kirkner spending time with us today on The Upswing. Check out the Tech Ed podcast.